Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 11th of January, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about this weekend's Mountain Film Festival, next week's Backcountry Film Festival with Christine O'Moore and Beth Weigel from Discovery Southeast. Dave Clark will be here to talk about the Commercial Fishing Online Film Festival. We'll also talk with successful matches. We highlight National Mentoring Month and Big Brothers Big Sisters. And we'll get the latest news on the conditions of Deco Crest and Mountain Safety Week. That coming up on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like rain changing to snow this evening with snow accumulation of 2 to 5 inches expected. Forecast for Thursday, rain and snow with accumulation of 1 to 2 inches expected. Friday looks like snow showers are likely.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Opposition continues to grow over a Native American casino under construction in northeast Oklahoma. As Kurt Gortney with KGOU reports, the gambling operation is now drawing attention from members of Congress.
Both of Oklahoma's U.S. senators and a U.S. representative from the Tulsa area are joining the opponents to a planned casino in Broken Arrow by the Kyalegi tribal town. Congressman John Sullivan says he and Senator Tom Coburn have sent letters to National Indian Gaming Commission Chairwoman Tracy Stevens and Assistant U.S. Interior Secretary Larry Echohawk. Sullivan says the letters ask for the status of efforts to have land approved for a casino. Kyalegi tribal town King Tiger Hobia has said the tribe has no viable economic development opportunities and that the casino is an example of why the Indian Gaming Act was enacted. But U.S. Senator Jim Inhofe says it's unlikely the Bureau of Indian Affairs will approve an application for the casino. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Oklahoma City.
The Navajo Nation is holding a grand opening for its third casino Monday. The Northern Edge Navajo Casino is located near Farmington, New Mexico. The 86,000-square-foot facility includes slot machines, poker tables, live table games, and food service, and will employ nearly 400 full-time jobs. The tribe is one of the largest in the country with the largest land base. It operates two other casinos in New Mexico and plans to open another one in Arizona next year. Federal and tribal officials are celebrating the Saboba tribe's water rights settlement. A ceremony in California today will mark the conclusion of the settlement. Federal funding recently released under the Saboba of Luseno Indians Settlement Act marked the final step in the settlement and fulfilled promises made to the tribe when the act was approved by Congress in 2008. Hundreds of people lined up outside Seattle's Burke Museum Saturday for the museum's 27th annual Artifact Identification Day. Experts were on hand to give people insight on objects they brought in. Eilish O'Neill has more.
Carol Milam came to the museum with two baskets and with a polar bear carved from a walrus tusk. She had inherited all three objects from her mother-in-law.
It was her father who was in the Yukon and prospecting for gold. And the family legend was that he got all three of these pieces when he was in the Yukon.
That was back in the late 1800s, so the pieces are pretty old. Milam had to wait for more than 45 minutes to hear what the experts had to say about them. Even though she arrived before the museum had opened its doors, there were already more than 100 people in line. She says that the information she learned about her baskets more than compensated for the wait.
They are both museum quality, and I was interested in finding out if they were because I am kind of preparing some of my estates, and I was wondering how to get rid of these, and it looks like the museum would be most interested in having them.
Contrary to Milam's family's legend, only one of the baskets is from Alaska. The other one came from California. The polar bear carved from a walrus tusk was made by Yupik Eskimos. Justin McCarthy, the museum's collections outreach coordinator, spent his afternoon identifying objects like Carol Milam's baskets and like Mimi Winslow's harpoon.
This was actually made for sale. So this piece here is walrus ivory. And typically you'd see the socket piece being walrus ivory as well. But this is caribou or moose antler. It's antler of some type.
The museum experts identified objects from around the United States, as well as artifacts from South America, Southeast Asia, and Russia. For National Native News, I'm Alicia Neal in Seattle, Washington.
On this day in 2011, Ben Shelley was sworn in as president of the Navajo Nation. He previously served as vice president and council delegate. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use Pick, Click, Give when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. We're going to be talking about three film festivals today. With us here to talk about the first two film festivals are Beth Weigel from Discovery Southeast and also Christina Moore, also from Discovery Southeast. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
So first of all, I'd like to have people to identify the organization. Tell me a little bit about Discovery Southeast, if you could, please.
Okay, Discovery Southeast is a nature education organization, and we do a variety of different programs in the community. People are probably very familiar with our nature studies program for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders that we do during the school year. We also do some Discovery Days, which our next Discovery Days will be in February when kids have the couple days off for teacher in service, and then we also do Outdoor Explorers in the summer. So lots of stuff for youth, but we also do things for adults as well. We have some teacher expeditions and things like that. So the films are probably a little bit more oriented towards adults, but certainly I think kids would enjoy them as well.
And there's two film festivals.
That's right. And the first film festival is the Telluride Mountain Film Festival. It's this weekend. And we're just sort of helping host this film festival. And our members, if they want to come and enjoy it, they'll get a discount to get in. But it's in partnership with the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater. And so the Telluride Film Festival, it's one of America's longest-running film festivals. It's an inspiring collection of art, adventure, academics, activists. So lots of variety in this film festival. And it'll be at Centennial Hall on Saturday, January 14th at 7 p.m., and then two shows on Sunday at the Goldtown Theater at 2 and 4 p.m. And I can tell you a little bit about each of the films, or a couple of the films that, that look pretty interesting. There's a film about the Colorado River and a young man who tries to trace the Colorado River all the way out to the sea because he's grown up in a farming family and wants to sort of understand where the water that they use to irrigate goes. And Colorado River is certainly a very taxed river, and so that should be an interesting one. There's a film about a desert in Chad, which is in Africa, and how the rock formations formed there, and some really interesting landscape photography. And if you're a surfer, there's a film about surfing in Ireland, which I think would be a little bit like surfing here, which I guess a few people do every now and then under the bridge or out by Lena. So that should be pretty interesting, surfing in the cold waters of Ireland. And a film about traveling down the Amazon River. There's also films that are inspired by people who have an interest in music and sort of following a musical path through different places in Appalachia and things like that. And if you're a bicyclist, there's some interesting portrayals of how the bike has changed people's lives from Africa to other places in the world. So really diverse, a bunch of films. Not what you think, maybe. It's very different than the Backcountry Film Festival, which is the other film festival that we're hosting in about a week and a half here. And it's much more focused on winter and winter sports. So.
Could you tell me again the dates and times of the show times for the Mountain Film Festival?
Right. So the Mountain Film Festival, again, it comes from Telluride, and it will be this Saturday at Centennial Hall at 7 p.m. and on Sunday, January 15th, at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. at the Goldtown Theater. And the films that I mentioned should be playing during the Centennial Hall one, but we might switch them up a little bit on Sunday, but you can check the Goldtown Nickelodeon Theater's website for specific details.
So I got confused again. What's showing at Centennial Hall?
The Telluride Mountain Film Festival is both this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is at Centennial Hall, and Sunday is at the Goldtown.
Right. And what does it cost to get in?
It's $10 in advance, and I think you can get tickets at Rainy Day Books and at the Gold Town Theater, and $12 at the door. And if you're a Discovery Southeast member, you get it in for $8 in advance and $10 at the door.
And tell me a little bit more about the Backcountry Film Festival.
So the Backcountry Film Festival is actually more of a fundraiser for Discovery Southeast. So we've put this on at the Gold Town for the past 3 years now. And it's more of a winter sport celebratory, you know, film fest. It's the films span basically from, you know, this guy's intimate recollection of his life growing up in the backcountry to, you know, a 25 day multi-sport adventure across the summit of Denali. So that's also, you know, it's going to be good, and that's all at the Gold Town. So that's on a Tuesday and a Wednesday evening. So that's
Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. January 23rd and 24th.
So Monday, January 23rd, and Tuesday, January 24th is the Backcountry Film Festival. And again, that has some ski movies in it, and it's all about winter sports and snow sports and how people celebrate spending time in the snow in non, you know, motorized ways. So just getting out there and enjoying the silence of winter and the beauty of winter.
Yep, and the prices for that one are similar. You get a discount if you're a Discovery member. It's $8 in advance, $10 at the door.
Film festivals have become a unique way of making money for organizations like Discovery Southeast. Are they popping up a little bit more often than they used to?
Well, yeah, I would say that, you know, we've been really fortunate in Juneau. We get a variety of ski films that come through, and I know the Juneau Watershed Partnership does the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. So we really are lucky to connect with other places and learn about the nature and adventures people go on all over the world because we get to bring films here. So I think that's a great winter pastime as well in the evening, just to sit down and watch a film and enjoy being somewhere else for a little while. So it does make for a unique fundraiser for us as well. And as Christine mentioned, the Backcountry Film Festival, this is the third year that we've brought that to town. And the Winter Wildlands Alliance puts that film festival together. And that is a fundraiser for us. So all the ticket purchase of your tickets goes to Discovery Southeast programs. And then the Telluride Film Festival, the Mountain Film Festival that's coming this weekend, is we're just helping host that. So if either one, you could talk to us. We'll be there. You could become a member. That's another great way to support our organization.
Just so no one's confused, especially myself, let's go over the dates and the shows again.
I know, it's confusing. So the Telluride Mountain Film Festival, which is going to be a collection of really inspiring sort of adventure films from all over the world, is on Saturday, January 14th at 7 p.m. at Centennial Hall. It'll be the big showing there. And then you could catch some of those films and maybe some additional ones in a different order at the Gold Town Theater on Sunday, January 15th at either 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. Tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door, and the Discovery Southeast members get $2 off either in advance or at the door. And then the Backcountry Film Festival is on
January 23rd and 24th. So
at the Gold Town Nickelodeon Theater.
Also at 7 p.m.
Yep.
So all this information on your website?
Yes.
Yes. And that's discoverysoutheast.org. Yeah. It'll be a great next week and a half of film. So this weekend you got something to go to, and then the following week you have something to go to.
Beth Michael and Christina Moore, thank you so much for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Just come on out and enjoy the films and take yourself on a little vacation via that medium.
Yeah. Thank you.
From my garden, it's a snail, that's what it is. The lark up on my garden, it's a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain.
need stop, I call your name. Oh, the snow will be a blinding sight to see as it lies on yonder hillside. Lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. Lock up on my garden gates, a snail, that's what it is. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds his skin to find a butterfly within.
Time is 3:16 and you are tuned in to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is here to tell us about a film festival. A commercial fishing online film festival. In the studio with me is Dave Clark. Thank you very much for being in the station with me, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself first, if you could, please.
Well, I've been commercial fishing here in Southeast Alaska for the past 15 years. And within the past couple of years, I've had children. I've moved to Juneau and now raising a family. It's also given me the time during the winter to focus on a website that's all about commercial fishing. And along the process, I decided to create the Commercial Fishing Online Film Festival. And that's going on all this week, January 8th to the 14th.
What do you fish for?
Primarily, I've done salmon fishing. I have gone to Bristol Bay. And recently, I've been doing a ton of salmon seining. It's a good time to be a commercial fisherman for salmon these days. Great price.
What gave you the idea to put together a film festival?
I would say a large part of it is in due to a good friend of mine, Jason Cochran. He's been commercial fishing for about the past 20 years. And even in the days of High 8, he was making some really amazing videos back in the day. So I think he encouraged all of us to kind of step up, get a camera, and, you know, see what we could do ourselves. And I think a lot of that has helped inspire the festival today.
How many films are in the festival?
We have just over 40 films, and there's more being submitted. As the contest goes on, it wraps up this Saturday. And, we have 40 films in 5 different categories.
Categories are?
We've kind of generalized them into the highliners. Those are the films with the great polish, really good editing, nice overall package. And then the greenhorns, that's pretty much the guys that have good footage but still need a little bit of editing skill. We also have a category on just Sitka herring because – Sitka herring is pretty incredible. Tons of films come in from that every year. The other category is bycatch, just kind of a collection of strange videos. And then the last one is documentaries. We have that's the category going on today, actually hosted on the website. We're focusing on the documentaries today. There's 10 films we're focusing on today.
So I just lost my train of thought here. You say it's a contest. What kind of prizes are there?
Well, for the one category that's really going to get the prize is actually the highliner category. That's the one that these are the videos that really stand out among all the others. So there's about 6 films in that category, and we're going to be giving away a LifeProof waterproof iPhone case, compliments of LifeProof. So they're pretty fancy. You can drop your phone, throw your phone. Pretty good for a fisherman.
And how do people vote?
You can go online to junotech.com, and that'll take you to the Twitter page and the Facebook page. There you just need to head over, check out the video, watch it, tell me if you like it, just click like, or you can tweet about it, and then I'll also be able to tally the votes of the videos that are viewed. So by the end of the week, I'll know which videos people were watching.
So you're featuring some tonight and in various days during the week. Can people watch all of them at one time if they wanted to?
You can. If you head over to the website there at junotech.com, I've got it set up so all the films are uncategorized into one playlist, and you can view all the films, all 40 or so of them, at your leisure. And there's more films being added. Like, everyone's kind of coming up with new ideas as we do it. So hopefully next year we'll get even more content, and we'll continue the pace of things.
About how long are the films?
Most of them are shorts. I would say a good example is primarily kind of like music videos with, you know, lots of commercial fishing there. In the documentary category, things are a little different. You know, we've got a little bit longer films there, but the average length is probably about 4 minutes, very music video style.
What do you think inspires these filmmakers?
Well, I think we work in such a unique industry that people want to capture that and kind of let people know, like, what they're doing out there. Many times we're away from our family and our friends, and a lot of times it's really hard to explain to them what's going on out there. And these days we have great cameras, and they're smaller and faster and better, so we can get great footage of, you know, our incredible experiences, and I think sharing those is a big part of it. So part of the film festival was being able to show that to everyone.
You mentioned your website, Junotech. Could you spell that for people?
Sure. It's Juno, J-U-N-E-A-U, and it's T-E-K, just so I get a cool Google search. It's kind of a unique term, lots of vowels.
What about your other web presences?
Basically, I've worked on a few other websites, but most basically Junotech is the main focus for me right now.
But you have a blog?
I do, and that's on the same site. That's junotech.com.
What kind of things do you talk about in your blog? Let me take a guess. Fishing.
Lots of fishing. Yeah, I do vary from the fishing a little bit. I have a subject called Fish Tech, which where I talk about some of the local gadgets, like a lot of the things that are going on now. We have a new NEMA standard. We also have AIS technology for the vessels out there. You know, a lot of the AIS technology people want to have. They want to show up on the radio, on the radar, as well as, you know, they want to have targets. So AISB is a new technology that's coming out there. So I focus on some of the marine tech as well.
What does AIS stand for?
It is the Automatic Identification System, I believe. And it's basically going to show large vessels like cruise ships automatically have these. And then smaller vessels less than, like some yachts are starting to get them. And I think as the industry continues, it's going to be a lot safer for everybody to have these, because no longer are you a mysterious target. You're now a hard target on the AIS system, so they can easily tell where you are. And I think that it's definitely going to be more standard as time goes on.
I'm talking to Dave Clark, who's put together a commercial fishing online film festival. You know, with the internet being worldwide, you must have gotten a lot of hits from various places around the world. What kind of reports do you have?
It's been pretty nuts. I got to say, the past couple of days, it's kept me really busy. For some reason, we got a great connection with some guys from Australia. So we're getting a lot of Australian viewers, which is interesting. And there's always a lot of Norwegians on the blog as well. They just like to see the commercial fishing, this side of things, on this side of the ocean. So, yeah, it's amazing. It definitely hits from around the world. It's great. And I encourage everybody to go check it out. And, yeah, leave a comment. Let me know what you think and what we can do next year to make it better.
And their website once again, please?
That's junotech.com. That's J-U-N-E-A-U-T-E-K.
Dave Clark, thank you very much for coming down the station. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Eat more salmon.
Bet you're going fishing all the time. Beaver going fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my line. I'm gone fishing, if I'm gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Went on down my favorite fishing hole, now I got myself a pole and line. Caught 9 pound cabbage on the bottom, clean my got him now, took him on to mama about supper time. Sing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on, honey, am I? I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and the beaver going fishing too. Beaver brother just about to run me out of my mind. Said, man, can I go fishing with you? Come on down to my favorite fishing hole. What you think that brother mine did do? Caught a sunbound bird to the bottom. Glimmy got him now. Took him home to mama. Say he is real gone. Come on. Honey and his. He is gone fishing. Yes, he gone fishing. And the baby gone fishing too. Put him in the pot, baby. Put him in the pan. Mama cook him till he nice and brown. Get yourself a batch of buttermilk, okay, babe. Put the sucker on the table. Mama, you scarf him on down. Singing many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, and my. I'm going fishing. Yes, I'm going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
Bitch gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby and my. I'm gone fishing, yes, I'm gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Come on with my pole, baby, in my line. I'm a gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the baby gone fishing too. Bet you gone fishing all the time, baby gone fishing too. Bet your life, your sweet wife, she gonna catch more fish than you. Sometimes she do. Many fish bites if you got good bait. Here's a little tip that I would like to relate. Many fish bites if you got good bait. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the beaver gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama's gone fishing, and the beaver's gone fishing too. I'm gone fishing, mama gone fishing, and the beaver gone fishing too. I'm going fishing, mama's going fishing, and the baby going fishing too.
Time is 3:30 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon, where during the month of January we are celebrating National Mentoring Month. And with me from Big Brothers Big Sisters is Kate Walters, who is a big sister, and Alina, who is a little sister. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So first of all, tell me a little bit about being a big sister at Police Caring.
Well, being a big is a lot of fun. I get to do a lot of things that otherwise I probably wouldn't. Like Lena got me to go off the high dive, which I don't know if you've done that as an adult, but it's scary. But she got me to do that. She got me on the ropes course out at Saga. So being a big, it just kind of gives me an opportunity to do fun things every week.
Why did you become a big in the first place?
Why? I had some extra time on my hands and wanted to volunteer and thought I would give it a whirl. Why not?
Lena, why did you become a little?
I actually can't remember. It's been a while.
What kind of things do you end up doing together?
We watch a lot of movies and bake and take walks, play with the dog.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. Tell me a little bit more about the things you do.
She's trying to get me to go swimming.
Yeah, I'm really excited about going to the new pool, and Lena is my excuse to go there. We do a lot of going to the beach in the summertime, looking for whales, being outside if it's nice outside.
Rock climbing.
Yeah, she's the adventurous one. She brings me along.
Well, how long have you been a match?
We were talking about that on the way here. We're not really sure, but we think about 2 years.
You know better than me.
Yeah, we're guessing around 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What kind of advice do you have for people who would like to become big brothers or big sisters?
I would just say, you know, if you have some extra time and you want to volunteer, contact the office. They're really great at matching you with, you know, a youth that you have a lot of things in common with, so it's not very hard to come up with the ideas to do stuff, and it doesn't cost a lot. It doesn't cost any money, really. Most of the time when we hang out, we do, you know, free activities, and Big Brothers Big Sisters also offers, like, once a month a really fun organized activity. So I would say to someone who wants to be a big, and just contact the office. It's really easy.
Let's go back a couple of years when you first met each other. What kind of feelings did you have, you know, like when you were first meeting Lena? And Lena, when you first were meeting Kate?
I was really shy, to be truthful. I'm really shy around new people, but I guess that just died down after a while.
Yeah, if you do enough silly things together, the shyness kind of goes away.
What kind of time commitment did you think you have to make?
What was that?
What kind of time commitment did you make?
We usually hang out 2 to 3 times a month for a couple hours. It really depends on what we want to do. And sometimes we'll hang out, you know, all day, and sometimes it's just for a couple of hours.
You know, what kind of things are on your wish list for things that you'd like to do with Kate?
I don't really have a wish list of things I want to do. I just go at the spur of the moment.
We're pretty indecisive.
Yeah.
Is it all a beneficial experience for both of you?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Not really. No. I think the benefit's just as big, you know, as great for me as it is for Lena. I have a partner in crime for fun things I probably wouldn't otherwise do.
What's your favorite thing to do together?
Baking? We do baking a lot, so I guess that's fun.
Yeah, we try to bake and watch movies, but usually we end up doing one or the other. We're not very successful at doing them at the same time.
What kind of things do you bake?
Cakes, cookies.
Did you bring any here?
No, we didn't. We'll drop some off, though.
That'd be wonderful. Kate, what are your favorite things to do?
I really enjoy when it's a nice day in the summer. We like to go out to Lena Point by the NOAA facility and watch whales or look for whales. That's probably one of my favorite things to do in the summer. Otherwise, it's all pretty much fun.
All right, and the phone number for Big Brothers Big Sisters, I believe, is 586-3350?
Yes, I think so.
All right, anything you'd like to add? I forgot to ask.
I don't think so.
I think you got it all.
I've been talking with Kate Walters, who's a big sister, and Lena, who's your little sister, during National Matrimony Month of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Thank you very much for coming on the station.
Well, thanks for having us.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 11th of January, 2012. It's the birthday of Aldo Leopold, Burlington, Iowa, 1887, author of A Sand County Almanac, As a very small boy, he was drawn to the outdoors. When he heard that Yale was offering a degree in forestry, he set his mind to go there. He went on to become one of the nation's first professional foresters. He worked in a national forest in New Mexico, where he began to feel that humans ought not necessarily dominate the land, that bears, wolves, and mountain lions shouldn't necessarily be sacrificed for the sake of local ranchers. The wilderness had its own justification. He developed the first management plan for the Grand Canyon, wrote the Forest Service's first game and fish handbook, moved to Madison, Wisconsin, started a graduate program in game management at the University of Wisconsin. In 1935, with other conservationists, he formed the Wilderness Society. He bought a worn-out farm, $8 an acre, barren, nearly treeless, near the Wisconsin River, and set about planting more than 40,000 pine trees, and began to write about his work and about peaceful coexistence with nature in essays that he published in 1948, 1 week before he died of a heart attack while battling a grass fire. The book was The Sand County Almanac, became a surprise bestseller in the 70s, continues to be one of the world's best-selling natural history books. It's the birthday of the botanist William Curtis, Alton, England, 1746, a scientist who directed the Apothecary's Garden, which at that time was the world's leading botanic garden in London. He became an authority on how Londoners could grow plants from all over the world, and he worked 20 years to produce a 6-volume book, Flora Londonensis, a study of flowering plants native to the area, plants within a 10-mile radius of London. A beautiful book with plant portraits and detailed descriptions, and he almost went bankrupt publishing it, because Londoners who loved gardening were more interested in the rare and exotic, not so much in the plants that already grew around them. So William Curtis published a magazine called The Botanical Magazine, which focused on ornamental and exotic plants, magazine written for the lay reader, which earned him money enough to pay for the Flora Londonensis. Here's a poem for today by Charles Simic, entitled Hitchhikers, after a Walker Evans photograph from the 30s. Hard times brought them out early on this dreary stretch of road, carrying a suitcase and a bedroll with a frying pan tied to it, the kind you use over a campfire when a moss-covered log is your pillow. He's hopeful, and she's ashamed to be asking a stranger to take them away from here in a cloud of flying gravel and dust, past leafless trees with their snarled and pointy little twigs, a man and a woman catching a ride to where water tastes like cherry wine. She'll work as a maid or a waitress. He'll pump gas or rob banks. They'll buy a car as big as a hearse to make their fast getaway, not forgetting to stop for you, mister, if you are down on your luck yourself. Hitchhikers by Charles Simic, from My Noiseless Entourage, published by Harcourt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Heather McPherson. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Lifelong learning begins with literacy, and it's never too early to start. Give the gift of reading to someone you love, or reconnect with reading yourself. Get a library card and get connected. the Juneau Public Libraries have been fostering literacy, exploration, and creativity in the community since 1916. Visit your neighborhood library today. What will you discover?
Time is 3:40 and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest here from Eagle Crest, Brian Davies, who's the Director of Mountain Safety, and Jeff McLeod, who's the Director of Snow Sports School, here to talk about National Safety Awareness Week. Thank you for coming by the station, everybody.
Thanks for having us today, Jeff.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
So my first question is, what about skiing in wet conditions versus dry conditions?
Well, we traditionally, because we are a little bit lower, have a little heavier snow than, say, the mountains of Utah. And we seem to get a lot of it, especially this season. So I think it can be all over the map. We groom a lot of the runs, which will make it a lot easier to ski, but it also can take just a little bit more strength and effort in order to ski it.
Another good thing is having the right wax on your skis. Sometimes when you do find that line between, I hate to say rain, but even just the wetter snow and a drier line on the freeze level, it can be pretty sticky. So having a good wax on your ski helps things and just help you maintain your momentum to get through things. Having skied at Eagle Crest for quite a number of years now, there's a large contingent of folks that, you know, they enjoy the dry powder, but they find our kind of our wetter, heavy snow pretty fun. It's pretty surfy. Snowboarders dig it. The advent of big fat skis these days is people have a pretty good time, you know, getting around in it.
And what are the current conditions?
Well, we've probably received at least 8 inches of new snow since Monday, and it's currently snowing up there. It was 28 degrees at the top of the mountain and probably went 31, 32 degrees at the day lodge. So we're definitely in the snow up there.
Yeah, new slate to car with the winds we've had this morning and through the afternoon. You know, there's some peaks up to 50, and with this current snowfall, everything's going to be all smoothed off. So it's going to be come up and kind of write your own signature in the snow tomorrow.
And your website again, for people who have forgotten?
Is skijuneau.com, and you can check that for all sorts of information on Eagle Crest, plus the updated conditions.
And this is still Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month?
It's Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month, all of January, and we've got some great programs designed to try and get people up and enjoying the mountain, whether they're first-time skiers or snowboarders or just people who are looking to get back into the sport. With all of our snow that we have this season, it's a phenomenal time to get up there on the mountain. And even though we don't have a lot of snow down at sea level, believe me, we've got tons of snow up at the mountain.
We are still in the top 5 in North America for the snowpack we have, so enjoy it while we have it, because sometimes we're on the other end of that scale.
And this is National Safety Awareness Week, and Brian Davies, you are the Director of Mountain Safety. What kind of things do you have to remember as director?
Basically, we're supposed to kind of be in the background, not seen but not seen, and just kind of being there so people can have a good time. The beauty of skiing and snowboarding is that you get to go out and kind of do things as you would like to do. You just have to remember that you're doing it in a shared environment and that, you know, there's others on the mountain that may not be at your level or may be beyond your level, but it's being respectful of each other and just kind of following the skier's responsibility code.
Want to go over that, please?
Basically, you know, it's always ski within your ability. You know, you may want to go very fast, but can you stop and be able to avoid somebody, which is number two. You need, if you do stop someplace, you want to make sure you're not obstructing the trail or you're stopping in a place that you can be seen, because, you know, we're skiing downhill, so there's lots of terrain undulation, so you want to make sure that you're always going to be visible to somebody that may be coming from above. Just like being on the road, whether you're on a bicycle or in a car, driving a big Mack truck, you always want to look before you enter. You're always, you know, if you're starting from someplace, you want to look uphill so you can merge in with the flowing traffic.
So there's a right away.
What's that? Yes, right away. And as always, the person below you, or if you're the overtaking person, the person below you has the right of way. Just because you're going faster doesn't mean you have the right. So it's, you know, the whole idea of the skier responsibility code is being respectful and just remembering that you're in a shared environment. We don't have lane markings.
What's the most common cause of accidents in skiing?
People skiing beyond their ability, not being able to stop or make corrections. The proverbial, I caught an edge and fell down. So it's being able to utilize your tools, be it a snowboard or skis.
And Is there any myth, truth to the myth that your last run is the dangerous, most dangerous one?
Well, if it's the last one to get hurt, yes, it was. But it's mostly it's like, you know, if you've been skiing hard all day long and you just want to squeeze that one more last one in, make it a cruiser.
I think the great thing about National Safety Awareness Week is just trying to make people aware of the responsibility code and aware of trying to make sure they're always skiing and riding within their limits. I think we all are guilty of wanting to push that one last run or push the terrain or push the conditions a little bit, and just making aware of if you want to ski bigger terrain and deeper snow, then take a lesson. Make sure you from a pro so that you have the right skills, the right, as Brian said, the right tools in order to negotiate that terrain safely.
But that's the fun part of being on the mountain is, you know, there's folks that enjoy it at a slow pace and there's folks that enjoy it at a fast pace. And it's all a learning curve. I mean, you don't come out as an expert. It's, you know, time and experience and just, you know, using good judgment.
All right. I've been talking with Brian Davies, the director of Mountain Safety, and Jeff McLeod, the director of Snowswood School. All about Eagle Crest and National Safety Awareness Week. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, just a reminder, if folks need any more information on Eagle Crest, visit our website at skijuno.com, and they can also find us on Facebook now and like us. Look for the Eagle Crest logo.
And thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
The creators of such albums as Liberal Shop of Horrors, One Bush, Two Bush, Old Bush, New Bush, and Obama Mia, the nationally acclaimed comedy troupe The Capitol Steps, put the mock into democracy. See them at Centennial Hall on Thursday, January 26th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside, and online at www.jahc.org. Sponsored by ConocoPhillips. The Capitol Steps, what Washington would be like if everyone were smarter and could sing.
George Washington was named after. Oh, you betcha. Now, as you probably heard, I have decided not to run for president on the Tea Party ticket in 2012. Even though I know, there's so many folks were encouraging me to run. Most of those folks were Democrats. So, oh yeah, you betcha. Hello. Okay, but did you know that I'm not going to run in 2012, but I might run in 2013. So y'all just stay tuned, okay? Now, I bet you heard that there's a new biography out about me. Have you read it? No? Well, me neither, because it's, well, a book. And but that doesn't mean I can't have an opinion about it. So I am here tonight to refutiate a lot of the facts that are in that book. Now, first of all, this book says that I don't have any foreign policy experience. Now, this is just not true. I have so much insight into all the wars and skirmishes that are going on all over the world, like that one with Muammar Gaddafi. And you probably know that I've spent a lot of time in the Mideast because I campaigned for Christine O'Donnell in Delaware. So, now... Oh, yeah. Now, you probably also know that I have a lot of insight into our good friend and ally over there in North Korea, Kim Jong-il, although I have never met her. I have met Dick Cheney's daughter, and we all know she's a Lebanese. Oh, yeah. Now, second of all, this book says that I was supporting Donald Trump when he was out there getting all excited when Barack Obama finally released his birth certificate. You remember he was going on and on about how Barack was born abroad, but, you know, I think he's always been a man. Now, most recently, I was on my One Nation bus tour this summer, going all around the country, learning all kinds of great facts about this great land of ours. It was another really cool, cool project that I quit halfway through, but... But before quitting, I wrote a poem about my experience, so here we go. Just listen, my children, and you'll be surprised at the midnight ride of Paul Revised. On the 18th of April in 75, he jumped on his horse because he couldn't drive. He said to his friends, if they march tonight, climb the North Church Tower, flip that switch for the light. One if I land, two if I see. If they bomb Pearl Harbor, better make it three. Paul rode all night till his buns were sore. Told the British, they won't take our guns no more. He rode through the towns telling husband and spouse, the British are coming. I can see England from my house. He warned King George if we got the chance, we'd kick his butt all the way back to France. He called Huck Finn, and he called Tom Sawyer. He called Andrew Jackson and his sister, LaToya. So you see, Sarah Palin knows her history, and the reason I'm attacked is a mystery. Next time, someone will get sued for libel, but I know my U.S. history, because I read it in the Bible. Thank you, America!
Capitol Steps will be appearing live in concert Thursday, January 26th at 7:30 at Centennial Hall. It's a concert brought to you by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. If you need more information on that, check out their website, www.jahc.org.
I've been having trouble sleeping, 'cause I'm restless and I fret. So last night, I drank some special herbal tea. It relaxed me so at bedtime, I sank in slumber so sublime. Somehow the darndest notion come to me. I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy. I dreamed he had a cowboy band. That old piano pounder was a rancher and a rounder. Striding and swinging was the Basie brand. I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy. Whoa, you should have heard his outfit blow. They were long on horns and chops and chaps. And the boss wore Stetsons now instead of caps. A wee bit strange on the range, perhaps, when I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy. I dreamed it was April in Paris. Here comes Mr. 5x5. Sonny and Freddie, Walter and Teddy. 16 men swinging that jive. Doggies jumping at the woodside. There's Harry and Eddie and Joe. Frank and Buck are roping tickle toe. Lester leaps in and he steals the show. They brand him on the rump with a 1 o'clock jump. When I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy.
first horse, of course, was Lil Darlin. And she's eating hay from every tub. Nothing seemed phony about that cute little pony, swinging on all fours and munching her grub. I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy. Whoa, you should have heard his outfit blow. After supper in the bunkhouse, they'd strike up the band. And each and every cowpoke was a dang top hand. Solid as a rock, you must understand. When I dreamed Count Basie was a cowboy.
Music of Don Burnham.
The Juno Symphony presents Sounds of River and Sea, January 21st and 22nd. I'm conductor Kyle Pickett, inviting you to hear And God Created Great Whales by Alan Hovhaness and Gorgeous Music by Smetana. We also will feature piano sensation Spencer Meyer in Rachmaninoff's spectacular first piano concerto, Saturday night at 8 and Sunday afternoon at 3 at JDHS, sponsored by KRNN 102.7 and UAS. Tickets are available at Hearthside, online, and at the door. See you at the symphony.
And you are tuned in to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Mock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Huna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on Digital Channel 871. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon, we'll talk to Karen Godnick from the Alaska Legal Services about Monday's day of service. Ishmael Hope and Peter Metcalf will be here to let us know about this spring's Klan Conference in Sitka. And we'll find out about Monday's celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day with our guest, Sherry Patterson. That writer's almanac, music, and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Capital Transit has implemented heavy snowbound changes until midnight tonight. Service has been discontinued on St. Mary's Avenue, Cordova Street, Davis Avenue, Lemon Creek Road, and Franklin and 4th Streets downtown. Forecast for tonight looks like rain mixing with snow at times, about 1 inch of snow expected, low temperatures around 33 degrees. Forecast for Thursday, rain with snow level to 500 feet, high temperatures around 36 degrees. Thursday night, rain in the evening, then changing to snow. Snow showers likely on Friday with high temperatures around 31 degrees. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today, and have a great evening and drive and walk carefully.